in Colossians, the third chapter. We had talked about the beginning of the third chapter. Well, at the end of the second chapter, we talked about dying when we were buried with Christ in baptism. Then at the beginning of the third chapter, we talked when we were risen with Christ from the water and grave, that we're a new man and we're to set our mind or our focus upon heavenly things and not things of the earth. And then we'll begin here with the fifth verse again, and then we'll go on. And we'll see what putting away the old man, what that really entails. It says, wait a minute, that's not mine. There we go. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 5 through 17. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the son of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. All right, talking about in verse 5 here, he's talking about, he says, these are the things you should have been put to death. Okay? These are no longer what we should have in our life since we are risen. And he names some things here. Okay? He says, these are things of your earth. These are things that you should have got rid of with the old man when you were buried, when there you should have been died. And when you put on a new man, these do not carry over. These are gone. And he listed, he says, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These should not be in your life in a new man. Since you have got rid of these things, they're gone. Now, later on, we talked about this last Wednesday night. They were once part of this. But he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the son of disobedience. All right? These things are characteristics of sons of disobedience. This is what you were once were. But now that you have put on the man, you're not a son of disobedience. You're an obedient man. You're a saint. You're a child. So he says these things should be have gone out of your life. You should have cast these things off with it. There should be no more of these things. And it looked, look here at Habakkuk 1, verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. God cannot look on wickedness. Wickedness, evil, is not associated with God whatsoever. And if you're wanting to be an obedient child, if you want to be associated with God, if you want to get back with God, then you have to put these evil things away. That's what he's telling you. And he names what they are. He says, you were once one of these things, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. You were these things. All right? You had fornication in your life. You had evil desire. You had lust in your life. going to hinder you from serving God, it's God. It's basically what he's telling. He's telling the Colossians here, he knows of the problems they have. They know these people are coming in, these false teachers, these Gnostic people coming in and trying to, just like I read today in Galatians, they are perverting the gospel. And I said, I don't care what they tell you. They said, an angel told me that you don't believe. If it's different from what we said, you learn. You'll be. And you can do the people are submitted first. Okay? Now, he said in Galatians, why are you so soon? Well, why? He's telling them too here. Why are you listening to these people and turning back to these things that you were fed to? Why do you want to pull them back into your life? These things are gone. You once were these things, but you're no longer them. That's it. Pax?
Later in Galatians 3, it says, "What foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you're so easily turned from the Word of God?" You know, the focus he makes in the verse we said last week before that was, and in Philippians 3, he says that our citizenship is in heaven. And when we consider where God is, that he's up there on the right hand of God, and God is above, and our citizenship is there in heaven, it's already there. Then why would we go back to the earth and live in an earthly manner and live beneath our citizenship, you know, to revert to something that's not even becoming of us as a Christian? And so why would we be bewitched in Galatians? You know, why would we be so foolish? And the chapter 2 of Colossians, he says, don't let these things be cheated. You know, don't let them cheat you from these things by giving vain philosophy or by going back to this way of legalistic type of living in the circumcision. Those things cheat you. The physical things in life, carnal living, also cheats us. It bewitches us. It takes us away from our focus and our goal of an eternal home in heaven and keeps us from maintaining our citizenship in heaven above where God is at.
That's a very good point. As we had talked about before, when we put on the new man, he tells us, he says, our mindset is upon the things of above. We're a spiritual being that our mind should be set and focused upon where God and Christ is. Not upon this earth, not the earthly thing. And that is what he's telling us. These are earthly things. Your mind should not be even thinking about these things. You put those things away. They're dead. I understand? But they're dead. You know what I mean? When they're dead, if they're gone. Alright? So he says now, why are you even thinking about these things? These things should be put away. The old man and the new man cannot exist in the same thing. So he says, put on spiritual things. Put off these things. Okay. You were once these things. You lived these things, but now you're not. Okay? Alright. Let's go ahead and continue now. Verse 8, but now you yourselves to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. These five sins are sins of what you call attitude and speech. These things must be put off. If these things are of your attitude, if you have these characteristics of it, and this shows you what your attitude is and what your speech is. It shows you that you're not a spiritual thing. You are of the earth. He says anger. It's an outburst of passion and temper with a view of taking revenge. Now think about these things here, what he's talking about. Do you manifest these things? Do I manifest these things? Do I have an outburst about me? Do I want to take revenge upon somebody when somebody does me wrong? Or when I get angry at them? That I have in my mind that I'm going to get back at them? Is this what I'm thinking here? Wrath. When anger boils up, it becomes a vengeful rage. And we've seen it. Everybody's seen these videos, things about road rage and how people act. You see people go into fast food, they don't cook the food right or something like that. They get so angry and mad and they just want to go after the employee. This is not the new man. Wrath. All right, talk about that. Malice, excuse me. A general word for evil and is broad enough to include both anger and wrath. The evil intentions of the individual who is angry against another, set on bringing injury to the person against whom the anger and wrath was directed. Malice. I am so mad at you that I want to hurt you. I want to do bodily damage to you. If I have a baseball in my hand, bat, I will break your legs. Whatever. Or I'll pick up something. Evil. Things of the world. Blasphemy. Speech directly against or the good character of another, against God himself, against the name of God, or against God's word, or against man. Slander is always intended to do harm or to bring hurt to the person. Here you use your speech to hurt somebody. You know, all in one of these has a physical part of the thing, but you're going to mouth the things to them as so long as you can hurt them. You're going to blaspheme against them. Then the filthy language, the obscene language. That seems like it's the norm for the world today. That they speak that way. Well, the people I associate with, I'm not sure that where you're from, they don't speak that way. And if they're around me, they won't ever hear it. And you'd be surprised that that makes a an action upon them. You've been around for long enough, they're just never said an obscene thing anyway. But the world is how it comes, is that one. It's the fact. And he's telling you these things. He says, now you yourself are to put off. Just like a garment, when you pull it off, it's set aside. This is not you. It's not on you. It's not your character. It's not your being. It's not your intent. This is not your thought. If you don't think about these things, they're easy not to do. If you don't dwell upon them. Now, these are hard things for us to do. Control your temper. Hard to do. Sometimes you smash your fingers. You want to say a cuss word. Somebody does you wrong and you just really want to hurt them. You want to revenge them for what they did to you. Whether it's in action or speech, you want to get back at them. But you can't do that. You cannot do that. This is what Paul is talking to them to here at Colossae, the Christians here, which is also speaking to you and I. this is the old man. This is how you used to be.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the new man. You'll look at the difference, okay? Look at what he just talked about. He lists these things. That's what he talked about. Fornication and all that. Now he talked about your speech and your attitude. All right? This is what you were once, and now you're no longer these things, all right? Well, how should you be? Well, I forgot this one. This is a biggie. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, okay? Lying is a form of deception. Whether one lies in word of action, the word or the act is always used with the intention of deceiving or defrauding. Well, what forms of lying is there? Well, look here. Idle gossip, and I put this here, carelessness in speech, such as stating something which one is not sure is the truth. Think about that. How do you speak to somebody or talk about somebody? Do you sometimes give an indication, well, you know, such and such, but you talk about it, but it may not be true. You may have heard it. But you're not even for sure that it is the truth. How can you sometimes, when you about yourself, you boast? Blame shifting. Inferring without actually saying some bad thing about a person. Speaking a half truth. Allowing false reports to go unchecked. You see what lying is? Deception. It's a fraud. Do we let things like that go through? Or do we pass things on like that? You hear so much news about fake news. Basically what it is reporting stuff over it, then it's not true. If you're going to report something of it, make sure it's true. Pure and simple. Know what you're talking about. If you're not sure, keep your mouth shut. Pure and simple. If you think this is it, don't say it. If you're talking about somebody's character and you don't know about it, you're thinking about it. You're going to be slandering somebody's character. Murdering them. Defrauding them. You're lying. You're deceiving. So think about, before you open your mouth, whether it's true or not. He says, this was part of the old man. You guess that?
Well, when we're talking about liars, God doesn't like them very much, according to Revelation 21, verse 8, because you see how it's written there. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. God doesn't have much patience with liars.
Look what he put lying with. What the world calls major sins. And white lie, you know, that's nothing. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Or if they like you to, no. There is no degree of delight. Okay? I haven't seen it in the word, anywhere in the word of God that there's degrees or different types of lie. I haven't seen it. It is enough. So my answer to you is you don't know, just don't say it. You can't back it up, don't say it. And just because you hear something doesn't necessarily it's true. Especially you see it on the internet constantly. Know your sources.
You mentioned the beginning of that list is cowardly. And the end of your list of allowing false reports to go and take. You know, one of the things that you
anything else? Is what's coming up too. Spiritual, when you talk about renewal, that's spiritual maturity. And another thing too is people, patience, which we're going to have to talk about a little bit too. But here are the characteristics he says. Now, these are the old man. These are things. Well, okay, he told you that the old man was put away. Okay? Now he's come along and he tells you what the old man did. Okay? These are the sins that you once did. This was how you were. You were of the earth. You were in the world. Now, these are gone. Understand? They're not in a new man. And we're going to talk about the new man. These things do not have characteristics of the new man. This is the old man. This is what you buried. These items that he talked about here, they're not a new man. Okay? If you're still manifesting these things, then you still have the old man in. And that's not the way it should be. That male man is gone. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. This is what we're just talking about. Here's to put off the old man with his deeds. Some attitudes and deeds may have been character with those in the time past, but the old man had been put off and discarded. That's what I talk about. The old self with his deed, his sinful practice, does not belong to the presence of the new man. The former manner of life, the old man, had been put off, discarded. That is gone. Understand? That's the old man, and that's gone. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. All right. This is what Charles was talking about. Renewing in knowledge. Basically what he's talking about is spiritual growth. Let me tell you, and spiritual growth, renewing in knowledge, goes on and on. You never attain to the complete knowledge of God. Let me tell you, you'll never complete it. That's the reason you need to study your words and the words of God daily and put into your practice, into your life, and renew your spirit, grow your spirit.
Chapter 2 and through chapter 3 and the three main points that we had about the philosophy.
remember when he first makes his start, look the part of the whole letter. We're breaking the whole letter down. Remember, one of the things he talked about was his and his self as an apostle. Basically, he said his authority. But his main focus has been always upon Christ. His focus is upon Christ. And everything what he's talking about here, like he's in particular, this says, the man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, what? Christ, who created him. You're always growing and renewing your knowledge in Christ. Not in philosophy, not in things of this world, not the wisdom of this world. If you want true wisdom, it goes to the knowledge of Christ. That's how you get it. Now, as you renew your knowledge in Christ, like Charles Taylor, you do this, the old man, those characteristics you had before, you don't have a desire for them. They go away. Because you renew yourself in Christ. Now, did Christ have those characteristics? I don't know about it. What kind of characteristics he had? That's the characteristics of the new man. That's what he's talking about. And so when you're put on new man, you're walking in him every day. From then on, you are renewing yourself in the knowledge of Christ. You are growing in Christ to be like him. That's right, your mind is focused upon the things that we affect us. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we're seeking for. That's what we should be thinking about. Firstly, our mind should be upon the things above. And if you want your thing on things above, let's just look at Christ. That's how you do it. And you do it by renewing yourself daily upon Christ and his wisdom and knowledge. Then, like Pax says on where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. There is no divisions in Christ. None. Okay? I don't care if you're a Christian in Europe, Asia, Africa, America, whatever, you're a Christian. There's no. These people, they say, look, if you were a Jew, you didn't care about the Gentile bit. That's the reason the Jews had a hard time accepting the Gentile bit. Because they had animosity between the two. Circumcised and circumcised. And the Greeks, too. They didn't care about these people. A barbarian. Those who did not speak Greek. You didn't speak Greek, you were a barbarian. Now, you and I, that term meant something back then, it means something to us now. Let me tell you, it meant worse back then than it does today. But when you think of barbarian, you don't have a high expectation of it. And since you had talked about too, from the extreme northern region of Asia, where in the eyes of Greek, they were the worst of the barbarians. They were the lowest of the barbarians. Okay? Just a little bit above us that. So you can see their mindset, how they were. Now, in Jesus, that's not what it is. I don't care if Pax was a Jew or what. Doesn't make any difference. I don't care if he cared if he was a Greek, he was either a barbarian or whatever. somebody because of who they are is gone. If they're a Christian, they're your brother and sister. And you love them, and you're going to be united with them. Anything else?
You cannot get discouraged and give up hope. You know, the devil is not going to just let us go and quit attacking us. You know, he's still going to come after us. But the longer we're a Christian, the better and the easier it's going to get. I'm a firm believer that I'm telling you that it's going to, there's some things that you just deal with and just you wouldn't think about doing. You know, and we got the most powerful force. We got the God of the universe on our side. We got Christ who God sent. He said, I'm not going to let you be lost. You accept Jesus Christ and I will, you're going to stand before me about, you'll stand before me about any sin. We need to believe that. And when we make mistakes, we're not the only one to make mistakes. Everybody makes them. We just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on.
The devil never stops tempting. I don't care how old you are or whatever. He never stops. And he's going to be after you because he doesn't have you. He's got the world. But he don't have you. So who is he going after? Why do you think he kept his promise like he did? If he did that to Christ, you don't think he's not going to do that to you?
You know, I was thinking the other day when one of my kids or one of my grandkids calls me, how much joy brings to my heart. I just love to hear from them. God is saying, what? God, when we pray to him, I'm sure he just brings joy to his heart. He's glad to hear from us. And we need to use that communication. I remember when I was out in Arizona, this is a sin on my part. If I ever had to do it again, it was if my mother, the way she could get hold of me, was at work. And once a month, she would call me at work. If I had to do it again, she would call me because I'd already called her and talked to her. She would have to call me. But that was a sin on my part back then. I made a mistake. And I should have never done that.
I was a Chamber of Commerce meeting the other day, and the guest speaker made the comment that and it resonated spiritually with me. That wasn't her point at all, but she said she asked a question of everybody whether practice makes perfect. Of course, everybody, of course it does. And she said, no, perfect practice makes perfect. So in other words, if you practice the wrong thing over and over and over, it doesn't matter how long you do it, you're never going to get it right. And you just embed bad habits. As a Christian, we consider our walk with God, just because we've been a Christian for 30 years or 50 years doesn't mean that we've got it right. That's why Paul writes these things to us. Why we have to study, why we have to grow, and it doesn't matter who we are or what walk of life we come from. It takes perfect practice to make our life perfect in life practice. So as we grow, we have to constantly regroup and understand where our imperfections are and try to make corrections so that we're not practicing the wrong thing over and over and just get to the end of our life and say, well, I did it. But I didn't do it right. And
that's one of the emphasis I think he's really talking about is renewing ourselves in the spirit here with basically with the Word of God. And it cannot overemphasize the daily. Now, you eat daily. You sleep daily. You do everything. You do everything, hope you take a bath daily or whatever. You do certain things on a daily basis. Do you ever think about renewing your spirit daily with the Word of God? And this is actually one of the things that we're talking about. This is not talking about the young people, this is talking about the old people. Old people can be in time for what? He's emphasizing here today, to do like you're talking about, the perfect practice is to renew yourself daily in the Word of God. You can't go wrong. It will strengthen you. It will open your mind, and hopefully it'll set your mind more set that this is my focus, that I will spend my eternity in heaven with God and Christ. That's my goal. And as you read about and study about it, heaven itself, what he tells you about it,
looks up in the sky and says, "Where's the bottom of heaven? Can you imagine how grand it is on top of it?" That's what it is. You look up in heaven and say, "Man, that's a beautiful thing." We're not seeing it, but let me tell you what. We see it through the grand light. We'll stop here and we'll continue with verse 12 Wednesday.